Welcome to Dialogues in Afro-Latinidad, a podcast dedicated to amplifying and elevating Afro-Latinx histories, cultures, and communities across the Americas and beyond. I'm your host, Dr. Michelle Reed Vasquez. Join us for conversations with experts and artists to learn more about Afro-Latinidad. Venga! Today's episode features our Careers Edition segment. If you're on the academic job market, this conversation is for you. Welcome back to the Careers Edition of the Dialogues in Afro-Latinidad podcast. In this series, we're tackling key issues, key questions facing professionals on the job market in the interdisciplinary fields of African diaspora studies, especially Afro-Latinidad studies and related ethnic studies positions. In part one, we focused on identifying jobs. And in today's episode, we'll focus on preparing for interviews.
So, you got that awesome email. Some would be screaming, some are a little nervous, but either way, you got the email that says now they want to actually have a virtual interview with you. Now what? Well, Luana, you just recently went through this. Why don't you go ahead and give us an idea of how you felt when you secured the lecturer position at Princeton?
So the subject line of the email said, interview for lecturer position at Princeton. So even before I opened the email, I was already smiling. I felt so happy and excited that I actually just stared at the screen for a few seconds before I could open it because I could not believe it. Then when I finally did, the message said that they were very interested in my candidacy. They wanted to schedule a Zoom interview with the other three committee members. And then the first thing I did was reach out to my friends. I was asking for advice on how to prepare, suggestions for outfits, what to do with my hair, how to present myself. Because honestly, everything just felt a little surreal to me. And I was just finishing up a dissertation fellowship and had no idea what was gonna come next. So getting that invitation just a few days after submitting my application felt incredible. And I started preparing right away.
Well, let's start with the interview format, right? In terms of this preparation. I want to point out that first round interviews have changed in the last 45 years, right? And this is especially for those that maybe are tenured or want to go back on the job market. This is really important to kind of recognize things have changed a bit. There's the pre-COVID, right? Where you were in person, often in a hotel room, sitting on beds. And then during COVID, and of course now post-COVID, it taught us how to be more creative. And in many ways, it changed for the better. I mean, for both those that are interviewing and those that are being interviewed, it's cheaper. You don't have to go anywhere anymore. So you cut out the airfare, you cut out the hotel room. Also, thinking about the stress, right, at these conferences, and you could just feel people are just on edge the entire time. So, you know, even before the interview, waiting in the hallways or the lobby, or, you know, after the interview, when you see them again, like, do you say hi? Do you not? Do you avoid eye contact? All that stuff now, luckily, is no longer an issue because it's become virtual.
Yeah, and now that these interviews take place in the virtual space, there are other things that you have to consider, especially how you present yourself on camera.
But even though it's virtual, you cannot just go in your pajamas. You have to do some things that you do for an in-person interview. For example, you still have to dress professionally from top to bottom. And the goal is to let your presence and your words stand out. So it's bad to avoid distractions.
And along those lines, technology is also a key factor. You may not be in person, but you want to come across on camera as if you are in person. You want to talk, you want to look professional, you want your technology to flow smoothly. And so some of the basics include having a stable internet connection, selecting a good camera angle, and usually that's straight on, like you're having a face-to-face conversation.
And don't forget your background. That is key, right? So set your background so it's professional. have a clean room, organize the space. If need be, make a blank wall in the background. So then it's just you, good lighting. And, you know, as Michelle was mentioning, make sure you practice by looking in the camera when you're speaking, okay? You're going to have several people on the screen. And so in order for you not to look like you're looking in the corner the entire time, just center your face and center your eyes on the camera so it looks as if you're looking directly at all of them.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I would also recommend hiding your own video during the interview so you're not distracted by your own image, so you're not checking your hair and your makeup. And then this is going to help you to just stay focused on the committee and the conversation. And it's also good to join the room a little early, at least I would say like 5 minutes before, because then you can get settled and you're going to be ready to start.
But of course, or almost, shall we say, always, or it seems to occur, right, when you need it the most, technology can fail us, right? So, and it happens to the best of us. And I think the key, when a glitch happens, your microphone isn't working, your camera just seems a little off, right? You need to be able to just pivot and pivot as smoothly as possible. In most cases, what I would suggest is just basically, if need be, in the chat, say, I'm going to close out, come back, come ready. That's it, because we've all been there.
And also, you know, try not to get flustered if there is, and there probably will be, a technology problem. We've all had to deal with those from time to time. And if it does happen, just keep it light. Like Erica was saying, acknowledge what's going on in the chat. We've all been in these kinds of situations. I guarantee you everybody on the committee has been in some situation like this before. But also remember that you're still being interviewed. So they'll be considering how you're acting under pressure, too. So, again, just keep it cool, and it'll be fine.
Okay, so now that you got your technology set up, let's get into the core elements of an interview. First and foremost, you must do your homework, okay? Who are you going to be talking to, okay? In terms of the search committee, you may have a familiar idea of who's going to be on there, but look up their research, okay? This will help you to connect with them. This will allow for more of a conversational flow. Typically, there's going to be one person that is not in the unit or the department that you're interviewing for. Make sure that you're inclusive in how you also incorporate their research in the conversation. Make sure also you, I know this sounds pretty basic, but I have found being on the other end, but literally review their website, know their mission statement. Anything relevant to the position, all of that is crucial to this interview.
Now, this interview, this virtual interview, takes place, lasts about 30 to 45 minutes, and it usually addresses three core areas: your research, your teaching, and your service. So for research, you need to have that elevator pitch ready. It's something that's, especially that, so it's in a format that's accessible to someone outside your discipline. You don't have to keep on talking and talking and talking. In fact, I encourage you not to do that. You want something short, well-rehearsed, that allows space for the committee to ask you questions about your research. And where possible, connect that description to your commentary to the job description and to the department.
And when it comes to teaching, just be ready to talk about your pedagogical approach, how you connect with students, and also use your research to understand where you can fill gaps and make meaningful connections in your teaching. Take some time to reveal their curriculum carefully, like get familiar with the curriculum, because they'll probably ask you how you do teach their introductory courses. So it's very good to be prepared for that. And depending on the position, you also might be asked to outline a syllabus. And this is the time to really rely on your community. Ask your friends for a sample syllabi so then you can get a sense of what's expected. And be sure to prepare your response ahead of time, like really prepare, rehearse, have them ready on your screen so you can easily access during the interview as well.
And lastly, there is service. which all of us will be required to do, some more than others your first year, it all depends. But essentially, this is an opportunity to learn a little bit more of what would be expected of you for the department, the college, and at the university level. Ultimately, what you want to do is ask questions and show that you can be a citizen, right? You can actually be collegial and ready to jump in and help where needed. And this is where I would say, especially for those that are coming from outside of the academy, lean into your experiences. Lean into those prior work experiences. Have you been in customer service? Do you know the patience that it takes to survive that? Talk in terms of what that would be like to work as a team, for example. Have you volunteered before? What type of volunteering have you done? Any type of service opportunities that possibly are outside of the classroom? For example, I used to work in migrant worker camps, things like that that will also show what type of person you are. All, of course, that should be geared towards the position that you are applying for. And before I forget, for those that will be applying for administrative positions, this is where you want to learn as much as you possibly can, right? So if you are going to be a program coordinator, a director, ultimately, one of the main questions you need to ask is there a budget, right? Is there, what is required of programming, staffing? I.e., are there resources for me to work with? Because believe it or not, you cannot perform miracles, at least not yet.
Yeah. Another important thing is always have questions. As the interview is coming to a close, at least three questions, have them prepared for them. Because if you don't have any questions, it seems like you're not really interested in that job. For example, you can ask for clarifications about some of the things that they mentioned. You can also ask about the timeline. When will they be finishing interviewing and when you might expect to hear back from them? Because when you ask those questions, it shows like, I really want to be here.
And once all that, like once you finish that virtual interview and it's been maybe a few weeks or a little bit longer than they said the timeline was going to be, this is a good time to check in with those job wikis. Sometimes there are delays. Sometimes things are out of their control and they're certainly out of your control. Budget constraints can cause jobs to be canceled. We've all seen those over the last couple of years. Colleges make decisions that can change positions that are out of the department's control. And since search committees can't really legally convey all this, these kind of internal issues to job candidates, this is where the job wiki can be really a really great resource for gathering this kind of information. Luana, why don't you share a little bit about how you prepared, how you approach preparing for the interview, your homework, for example, the kinds of sample questions about research and teaching and service that you received or were asked?
The first thing that I always do is reach out to my friends. I have absolutely amazing friends, a beautiful community who is always there for me. And also my social media networks, like some people that I probably never even met in person, but they're there and they're very generous with their time and their resources as well. So I looked for sample interview questions and I practiced them. And I have all of them in my little posters that I could pull around my screen when I was doing the interview. And since this position that I applied, the focus was teaching, even when they asked me about my research, it was always in connection on how this research, how everything that I do informs my teaching. For example, they asked me how my work on quilombos and poetry connects with my teaching. And an interesting thing is I just came back from an artist retreat when I did the interview, and they were generally curious about that too. So they were interested in me as an artist. They were interested in my poetry. They wanted to know how the retreat went. So it ended up being just a really good conversation. And I felt very comfortable because I was just talking about things that I love, like poetry, arts, teaching. So it was very nice.
I can imagine, and I'm sure that as you're mentioning, it allows for a connection, right? A more natural conversation than that can ensue. this is a great example of how you leaned into your previous experiences and your in regards to you, Luana. You're an artist, and that's great to know, and a poet. So that ended up helping with the conversation. So within a few weeks, hopefully, you'll hear that you were selected for a campus interview. But please make sure during those few weeks that you check your spam email. You always want to just make sure. That way you don't miss anything, right? And remember that if you get to the campus interview and you get that awesome email, you are more than qualified. Do not doubt yourself. So with that, make sure the first thing that you do is ask for an agenda, okay? This is so then you know what to expect. But don't just ask for it. Actually study it. Look at who you're going to be talking to, right? What are your breaks like? Do you even have a break? When can you use the restroom? All this matters because at the end of the day, from the second that you say, hi, my name is, you are always being interviewed. Okay. So whether it's, you know, getting out of your car, a train, a plane, it starts the second that you say, hello, my name is. And of course, remember, it's all day and everyone you encounter, right? So whether it's dinner, lunches, breakfast, walking to the meetings, all of that is part of the interview. So keeping that in mind, and believe it or not, it is true, how you dress really does matter at times. So be ready, okay? This is not the time. I understand when you're on a plane, you may want to be in your jeggings or your sweatsuit, anything like that. That's not today. That's not today. That ain't that kind of trip, as they would say. All right. Don't check a bag either. Please don't. You do not want that extra stress. Moreover, there should be enough room, right? You're not actually staying there for about a week. Usually it's like 2 days, maybe 3 days max. So you just want to make sure that the stress level remains as low as possible. I mean, God forbid, right, that your luggage doesn't arrive when you arrive. I mean, so just make sure you just kind of take care of those little things, but they're big things.
And also be sure to check the weather and wear comfortable shoes because there may be lots of walking. It might be cold or raining, so you don't want to be uncomfortable. And also bring a bottle of water, stay hydrated, and don't forget your snacks. You don't know what's the next meal is going to be, when it's going to be, so have your snacks so you can prevent low blood sugar, so you feel prepared all the time. And another thing that I'll suggest is ask about your presentation room technology and setup to just make sure that you have everything that you need and bring your presentation in multiple forms and paper, jump drive, email to yourself, put it in the clouds, all the clouds are out there. Make sure that you have your presentation all the media possible. And also consider bringing your own laptop and adapters for your computer, especially if you need to play audio or video beyond the traditional PowerPoint setup. Just bring everything that you might need for your presentation.
Yes, yes. And as you review that agenda, keep in mind that you're going to be meeting people at different levels at the institution. This will include folks like the search committee, obviously, and certainly the broader department faculty, the department chair, as well as faculty outside the department. You'll be meeting students. The students might be escorting you to some of the different meetings. Talk to them. Ask them about their experience in the department. What are they majoring in and why? And they can provide really great insights into the student experience at that institution. You'll probably be meeting a few administrators, maybe the dean and some of the related program directors. They all have a vested interest in who gets this job. So you want to do your homework and be able to engage with them about their work or their research or their projects, especially those that are connected to your own interests. Did they just launch an initiative that you can contribute to? Ask about it. You want to show that you have a lot that you know a lot about the institution, about what they've done for it, and that you'll be a great asset, not only to the department, but to the broader campus. Now, we've talked generally about what to expect on the campus visit, but I know people will want to hear some more details. So we're going to go back to Luana because she's done this most recently. Luana, what was your campus interview experience like?
It was raining all day long. So I was very glad that I checked the weather, that I had comfortable shoes because Princeton didn't give me a break. It was raining, raining, raining the 2 days that I was there. But for the class, I got to teach a full class with real students. So that really helped because it felt natural, like I was stepping into something that I already knew how to do. And I had all the tech that I needed, so I didn't have to worry about that part. And I had multiple meetings, like coffee breaks with faculty, graduate student, and staff. So I was just going around, so I was very glad that I had my comfortable shoes. So girl, please check that weather.
Definitely do that. And as you're saying, right, these coffee breaks are actually what we would call informal interviews, right? They take place during those in-between moments of, you know, major meetings with administrators or the faculty members. They can also take place when you're eating over lunch or dinner. So I would say during those informal interviews, don't drink. And to be specific, I'm talking about alcohol, just so we all know, right? Maybe ask for iced tea, sparkling water, if you want to sound ooh la la, club soda. Those are things I think that are just, you know, basic but necessary for this, you know, for you to know. I mean, obviously, if you're fine or feel okay after one, I would also say maybe no more than two. You know yourself. You know what happens when alcohol enters your body. Is that the side you want to show? That's all I'm going to say about that, right? So stay sharp. How can I put this? Loose lips can ultimately end your opportunity for that job, okay? Plus, you also want to stay sharp because you're going to get an opportunity to see these interpersonal dynamics, especially during these informal interviews, right? You're going to get a sense of what they are like when they're in a group and have to interact. And this will help you determine also, help you start to ask yourself, like, would you be comfortable on that campus? What about this type of dynamics that is taking place in front of you? This is especially important when you think of them as future colleagues or potential students that you'll work with. So ultimately, remember, as much as they're interviewing you, you're interviewing them as well.
Definitely, definitely. And also something to think about in these informal interviews that there are often there are a lot of common yet illegal questions that people are trying to slip in. Uh-huh. It often has to do with your family, your partner, whether or not you're married, if you have kids, how old are you, what's your race or ethnicity. And also, while it's not illegal for them to ask you if you're interviewing elsewhere, you don't have to answer that kind of question. Like, they're not supposed to be asking you these kinds of questions. I know it sounds like, what? These are normal, but for the HR perspective, these are not allowed. And so you have to think about, you know, how, but they almost always happen. Yeah. So you have to think about how you deal with it.
Definitely. Right. So you get that uncomfortable question, or in some cases, illegal question. And I think all of us are thinking, okay, so how do you deal with that? For me, what's worked is to pivot, make light of it, allow for a little bit of awkward silences, but ultimately what you want to do is move on from the topic. So for example, if they ask, are you married? And you, in this case, don't want them to know because you've taken off your wedding ring. One thing you might say as a joke is, why? Do you have somebody for me to meet? That should be enough, right? If they asked, do you have kids? You could just be philosophical at moment and say, you know, you just don't know what the future holds in terms of that. You know, it just, you just never know. What if they ask if you're bringing a family because they want to see if there's going to be bigger conversations about maybe a spousal hire, right? Turn it around and be like, oh, why? Is this a family-oriented area? Tell me a little bit more about the area, right? So you want to make it so then you address, in quotations, their very inappropriate or illegal question, but move it along, right? And let them see that you're not bothered, right? But that being said, if there's something that you need to know, right? If you need to know if there's good schools, if you need to know that there's good daycares, daycare available, affordable daycare available, be upfront with that. Ask the questions. If that's a deal breaker for you, it's necessary for you to know now rather than discovering it later.
Absolutely. So you made it back home and you thought everything went well. Should you send a thank you note? It's not required for the virtual interview, but definitely I suggest send one after the campus interview. You don't have to send out individual message. You don't have to email everyone, but maybe just email a message to the search chair and ask them to share with the committee and everyone that it was part of your agenda.
Well, this has been, I think, a great conversation about all the steps, the step-by-step, the different aspects, the virtual to the campus. And so I want to make sure that we provide a few takeaways as we wrap things up. So first, if you got that virtual interview, especially if you got the campus interview, remember you are qualified, more than qualified, pat yourself on the back. You did that. You did all the things. Don't doubt yourself. If you're in an interdisciplinary field, it means you've successfully demonstrated the value of your research and your teaching perspective. So don't discredit yourself. Like you have, like I said before, 200, maybe 300 people have applied for this and you became one of the top 10 for the virtual interview and then one of the top 3 for the on-campus. You did it. So you're fantastic. Do not stress.
And remember that there are so many factors that are out of your control. So do what you can to address things that are in your control. For example, your camera setup, your interview responses. When you are on campus, wear comfortable shoes and bring your talk or talks at multiple formats, because these are things you can control.
And finally, always remember that you're being interviewed from the beginning, right? So there is no, I didn't think that they were actually wondering what was going on or asking me about this when we talked so casually about my cat or my dog. Who knew, right? You don't want that. You don't want that to happen. And also remember, as much as you're being interviewed, you are interviewing them. And I could speak from my own experience. I will just ultimately say, trust your gut. It was the campus interview that convinced me that UTEP was home. That was it. It was the best decision for me. Make sure you ask the questions that you need to know. If they're going to be deal breakers, you must find out as soon as possible, right? And then, of course, always remember pivoting from illegal or very awkward or inappropriate questions with grace and humor will keep the interview flowing.
Absolutely. So for everyone preparing for the job market, especially in Afro-Latinidad studies, African diaspora studies, and other ethnic studies related fields, we hope you found this helpful. Links to the information we mentioned will be available on our episode resource pages at michellereedvasquez.com/dialogues on Afro-Latinidad podcast.
And please listen to upcoming episodes. In addition to the career segment, season 5 features a compilation of interview highlights from previous seasons, as well as new guests.
And if you have a question or if you want to offer feedback, please reply on our YouTube channel, Dialogues in Afro-Latinidad, or email us at afrolatinidadinstitute@gmail.com.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks to my wonderful panel, our producers, and for the listeners for joining us for this episode of Dialogues in Afro-Latinidad. Take care. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe and hear more episodes of Dialogues in Afro-Latinidad on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And go to michellereedvasquez.com to check out our episode resources and learn more about the Afro-Latinidad Studies Institute.